This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today is candidate for Cook County Assessor Fritz Kagi. Fritz Kagi is one of the Democratic candidates for Cook County Assessor in the March 20th primary elections. Kagi addressed the City Club and said basically the current system lacks equity. We have a regressive rather than a progressive system that tends to reward those with connections and clout at the expense of homeowners in neighborhoods, particularly in Black and Latino neighborhoods. If elected, he promises an assessor's office which is transparent and uses the best practices available. Kagi's opponent, he said, has waged implacable resistance to progress in the office. The current system has many, many serious problems. Kagi is a certified financial analyst and a certified assessor with an MBA from Stanford University. He says, when elected, the office will be a reformer's dream. Because it is an executive office, he can make many changes without needing legislative approval. The office, he says, under the current incumbent has become corrupted, rewards the few, not the many. The public pays an extreme price. For example, a recent study of the 50 most populous buildings in Chicago, in downtown Chicago primarily, revealed that they are assessed at only $8 million, when their value, according to market experts, should be $17 million. This would be enough to eliminate taxes, property taxes, on 40,000 single-family homes. If elected, he will make better hiring choices reflecting the diversity of Cook County. His managers will undergo continuous training and retraining. The people need to know how their assessments are calculated, and Fritz Kagi promises to be transparent on this particular matter. There will be a new emphasis from the office on services, and people will have access to data so they can check their own property's worth. And he said, most important, under Kagi's leadership, there will be no donations accepted from property tax attorneys who turn around and then benefit from their donations to the office.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, everybody, for inviting me here today. Good morning. I'm Fritz Kagi, and I'm running for Cook County Assessor. I'm so honored to be here today with you this morning. We're really lucky to have the City Club as such an active civic forum. It takes a special organization and membership to convene a group such as this at 7:30 in the morning to hear about real estate assessments and how we can do it more fairly and accurately. And I'd like you to know that attending City Club events over the years played a part in all of the process for making me aware of all of the issues involved. And in its own way, usually I'll sit out there in the back row, meet and talk with folks here, and it helped to give me inspiration and insight to launch this campaign. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity you've given me here. If we take a step back, I think the reason we're here goes far beyond the technical aspects of real estate assessments. We're here because our assessment system creates tremendous economic inequity. We're here because the current assessment process systematically overtaxes Black and Brown communities, transfers wealth from the South and West sides of the county to downtown corporate property owners and the politically connected. We're here because it's regressive everywhere, in every neighborhood of the county. More modest homes are taxed more heavily than lavish ones. We're here because the system displaces people, hurts small businesses, and causes devastation in our neighborhoods. All of this is a direct consequence of a corrupt system that benefits a small number of political insiders and wealthy business people at the expense of millions around the county who desperately need fairness in government. This is wrong. And that's why I'm running for Cook County Assessor. We need to fix this system, and I stand before you today asking that you'll join me in demanding open, transparent, and honest government. So in the immortal words of the recent Crane's Chicago Business headline, who is this Fritz Kagi? Well, I live in Oak Park with my wife, Rebecca, as Ed mentioned. She's a teacher. We have three children, William, who's 10, Rose, who's 9, and Anna, who's 7, or as they like to refer to themselves as my co-campaign manager, my co-co-campaign manager, and my assistant campaign manager. That said, I can assure you that none of them will be drawing a salary when I'm assessor. I'm a Chicago native. I was born and raised in Hyde Park, as Ed mentioned, where my parents have lived for over 40 years. And as you know, Hyde Park has long been a crucial progressive bastion in Chicago, and my family was no different. My grandmother was a New Dealer and worked in FDR's administration, and her lifelong emphasis on the values of fairness and equity transferred on to my mom. My mom was one of the first Peace Corps volunteers. She went to Tunisia. She later worked for the Peace Corps in Washington and was involved in Martin Luther King's Poor People's Campaign. One of the first things that she did after moving to Hyde Park to marry my dad was to go out canvassing to register new voters with her new friend, Jackie Grimshaw, who became one of Harold Washington's most important advisors, as many of you know. My father, as we mentioned, is a professor of history specializing in Rome and Byzantium, but spent a lot of time at home talking about politics and investing. But he just retired last year after 52 years of teaching. He joined the faculty in 1965. Growing up, the conversation around the dinner table was all about the council wars. Now, back then, people paid attention to aldermanic races taking place on the other side of town, and that was because so much was at stake. The very prospect of progressive government in the city of Chicago hung in the balance. And that was when I first heard the names of giants like David Orr and Chuy Garcia. And this was the 1980s. I remember walking to school, playing baseball with my friends in the alleyways of Hyde Park, where the telephone poles were plastered with posters and slogans that I still remember, like, "Come alive, October 5, and we shall see in 83. That's what I grew up with. And I also vividly remember Harold Washington and all that he stood for. I remember his voice and his wit, and his magnetism and his intellect in gathering community support across the city. When Harold was mayor, he met incredible resistance from this man I only knew as Vredoliak. Vredoliak and his political faction, including committeeman Joe Berrios, waged implacable resistance to progress. And as we all know, remnants of these battles live on even today. As I progressed through school, my teachers at Kenwood Academy and the Chicago Public Schools nurtured my interest in politics and in the rest of the world, helping me shape my worldview and my values. I went on to Haverford College, founded by Quakers, where I studied political science and economics. Soon after college, I went to Russia, initially as a Watson Fellow, to study the emergence of private companies and financial institutions. And I stayed to work as a financial analyst. In just the 4 years that I spent there, I watched a country with enormous promise and potential become bogged down and diminished by cynicism, weak institutions, and corrupt leadership. Parallels that I see eroding the fabric of our communities here. Well, I went on to earn my MBA at Stanford, attracted by Stanford's strong public management and nonprofit program. And when I graduated, I came straight back to Chicago. I'm passionate about Chicago and about Cook County. It's my home. I've seen firsthand the incredible potential of what can occur when civic institutions are strong and the devastation that can result from their failures. That's why I want to use my valuation skills and my professional experience as a steward to address the deeply rooted problems in our property tax assessment system. And yes, like so many others, I was deeply affected by the results of the 2016 election, and that only reaffirmed my determination standing up for fairness and justice and changing the assessor's office for the better is a fight well worth taking on. I believe that the people of Cook County deserve an assessor with a proven track record of strong progressive values, who will value all property in a fair, ethical, and transparent manner. This office needs to focus in on accuracy in mass valuation using the best data and models that are available, and I have the ideal background to do this. Since returning to Chicago, I've spent my whole career valuing assets and acting as a financial steward. I worked at Columbia Wanger Asset Management for 13 years as an investment analyst and portfolio manager. While at Wanger, I valued thousands of companies around the world, visiting management teams, including major investments in real estate companies. My work involved investigating tangible and intangible qualities of an asset in order to make fair, consistent valuations of them. And before Wanger, I worked at Morningstar and helped build that company's equity valuation models. I hold the Chartered Financial Analyst and Certified Illinois Assessment Officer designations. I have an appreciation of the professionalism of people employed in this field and of our township assessors. I want to work with them to better serve the public, as they're a vital part of the system in processing exemptions and ensuring better data accuracy. I have a deep appreciation for housing and poverty issues, as well as for our regional nonprofits as a partner and investment committee member at Social Venture Partners Chicago. SVP Chicago provides the financial backing and, more importantly, the capacity-building resources of its professional partners to Chicago nonprofits fighting the cycle of poverty. In recent years, SVP Chicago has partnered with Metropolitan Tenants Organization, Greater Englewood CDC, Project Sincere, and 1 Million Degrees. Contrary to what my opponent is trying to tell voters, I'm a lifelong progressive Democrat and have worked to elect progressive Democrats for the entirety of my political life. I have a long history of supporting grassroots causes and campaigns, including the 2014 minimum wage ballot measure and organizations such as Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and Reconciling Ministries. With that said, let me switch gears for a moment. This office and this race isn't about Fritz Kagi and Joe Berrios. It's much, much, much more than that. And I think all of you know this, and the public knows this. Progressive giants like our Cook County clerk, David Orr, have warned us about the perils of machine politics. When David ran for clerk in 1991, he called it a reformer's dream. Well, the assessor's office is the reformer's dream of 2018. The way it's currently run and the person who runs it represents everything that is wrong with Illinois and Cook County politics. We know all too well what happens when government offices get corrupted for the political and economic benefit of a select few. Ethical issues, a lack of transparency, pay to play, nepotism, these are all hallmarks of machine politics. We've seen this story before, and we've seen the consequences. The public pays a steep price, and in particular, black and brown communities do. People lose faith in government and our civic institutions, and indeed our democracy, suffer. The assessor's office is the epitome of this, and the consequence is that hundreds of millions of dollars in wealth gets transferred from working in middle-class families on the south side and the west side to the rich. And this isn't a fairy tale. I wish it was, but everyone from the University of Chicago to the Chicago Tribune to the Lincoln Land Institute to the Civic Consulting Alliance, they've all found this to be true. And over the last year, we've watched a mountain of evidence pile up, confirming what many people already knew and felt to be true, that the system Joe Berrios oversees generates shocking inequities. The Tribune's expose of the assessor's office was given front page treatment for more than a week in last June. Their exhaustive research and reporting showed that wide swaths of the county, and largely again on the south and west sides of Chicago and in the western and south suburbs, are substantially and grossly overassessed. Soon after, additional reports from The Economist magazine and the Brookings Institution and many others followed. And finally, then the finale, in February, the county's very own commissioned report from the Civic Consulting Alliance was released. Each report came to the same single conclusion. Our regressive property tax system under Joe Berrios continues to marginalize black and brown communities while creating tremendous economic benefits for the wealthy and politically connected. These are the dire consequences that we're left with. But let me take a step back and share a bit more about how the assessor's office operates in a way that's completely at odds with the principles of good government. And then we'll get on to solutions. Let's start with the lack of transparency. Assessors throughout the United States of America and everywhere else in Illinois tell property owners how their assessments are calculated. This is standard industry practice. But in Cook County, good luck finding out how Joe Berrios arrived at your assessment. He simply won't reveal how assessments are calculated. This lack of transparency and accountability is emblematic of how the machine operates. It's allowed Joe Berrios for 7 straight years to run a pay-to-play office that benefits his wealthy campaign donors at everyone else's expense to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars per year after campaigning in 2010 on the promise of reform. And that brings me to pay-to-play. As the Chicago Tribune reported last summer, the majority of the $5 million collected by Joe Berrios for his various campaign committees came from the same property tax lawyers that practiced before his office. Again, this is business as usual for machine politicians. Let's remember, Joe Berrios learned the ropes in the 1980s when he and his city council ally, Ed Vrdoliak, opposed good government reforms brought by Mayor Harold Washington. To no one's surprise, the Cook County Board of Ethics fined Joe Berrios $41,000 in January for accepting illegal contributions from property tax attorneys. And he's shamelessly fighting this in court, too. Then we have nepotism, another old school favorite. When Joe Berrios became Cook County Assessor, he made dozens of discriminatory firings to promote and hire his own family members. And who paid for it? We did. Cook County taxpayers have paid over $3 million in legal and settlement fees for Berrios' unethical and discriminatory hiring practices. So what are the consequences of all of this? Well, first and foremost, as I mentioned earlier, we have regressivity in assessments throughout Cook County. And what does that mean exactly? The more modest your home in every neighborhood of Cook County, the higher the rate you pay. What the Civic Consulting Alliance study showed in vivid detail is that in Chicago, the owner of a $600,000 home would be paying a 24% lower effective tax rate than the owner of a $300,000 home. That's not supposed to be the way the system works under the law. And there's dramatic underassessment of downtown commercial properties. That means when they get billions of dollars in benefits, homeowners and small businesses make up the difference. You may have seen the Crane's analysis of the 50 most expensive commercial real estate transactions in Cook County in the last 5 years. Well, their conclusion was this: the prices of all 50 properties added up to $17 billion. These are purchase prices in the market recently. While the assessor valued them at only $8 billion, they're underassessed by more than 50%. The difference, about $9 billion, equals the value of nearly 40,000 medium-priced homes in the whole Chicago area. And there's more to the story. The communities that are hit hardest are Black and Latino communities, the same communities that have been burdened by housing discrimination for decades, from the era of redlining and blockbusting and contract sales to the abandonment of public housing all the way up until today. Our assessment system is a part of this shameful legacy. It's been called institutionally racist by University of Chicago professor Chris Berry, who studied the system and developed a better model for the assessor's office, the same model Joe Berrios lied about using until the Tribune showed otherwise last summer. And this dramatic under and over assessment has real human consequences. Hundreds of millions of dollars is stolen from the South and West Sides and the Southland. This is money that should be kept in people's pockets to pay down debts and spend on their families. That money's not supporting local businesses. That money's not generating jobs in the neighborhood. This displaces people from their homes and creates vacancies and all the ills that come from that. And what does this all add up to? In total, it leads to shrinking populations and boarded up storefronts and neighborhoods throughout the county. That's the cost. And that's quite a catalog. So how do we fix it? Good news is it's an executive office. We can deliver real economic benefits that advance social justice and good government for 5.2 million people with determined new leadership. It is a very rare situation in our democracy. And it starts with better hiring. We need to eliminate nepotism and cronyism in hiring and bring in professional, ethical workforce that reflects the diversity of Cook County. As assessor, I'm committed to swiftly implementing the hiring and performance measurement requirements of the Shackman Monitor and eventually exceeding them. I'll make sure all employees undergo a professional assessment education program such as that available from the Illinois Property Assessment Institute, the IPAI. That means only highly qualified, well-trained staff will be assessing the value of taxpayers' homes. No more family members or cronies on the payroll. This is serious, serious business, and we need to approach it with the same seriousness and importance that it deserves. And we need to equip this office to serve all of Cook County with all of its racial and ethnic and linguistic diversity. That means implementing a robust diversity hiring plan and fostering a culture of inclusion and respect for people that work inside the office. That means overhauling the way this office does community outreach, which is currently so focused on appeals, basically encouraging people to go to war with the office itself. We should be focused on educating residents across the county on the services and exemptions and benefits that are available to them. And as assessor, I will make sure that every tax assessment, residential, commercial, and industrial, is handled in a transparent and fair manner. No more closed-door backroom adjustments. I commit myself to telling property owners how their assessments will be calculated and are calculated. And this should be a minimum standard for this office. And we'll go further by making data and algorithms, including assessment variables, available to outside parties so that people can check our work. By opening up the data in this way, we can root out the biases and unsound valuation practices and favoritism that we know have existed. And we can restore confidence in the office. As a candidate, I've already pledged not to accept donations from property tax attorneys and people in that industry. As assessor, I'll do the very same. And I'm committed to eliminating this culture of pay-to-play through a variety of other rules that we will institute. Finally, we're going to aim to get assessments right the first time rather than rely on appeals, which have shown to actually make things worse. This means for residential properties implementing the price-weighted regression model. That's a fancy way of referring to a tool already at the disposal of the assessor that will reduce regressivity by 50% and will be much more accurate. And we're going to improve upon it. We're going to take into account the prevalence of short sales and foreclosures and vacancies in certain neighborhoods to make it even more accurate. And we're going to reassess downtown commercial properties with modern valuation techniques that modern institutional investors use that reflect prices actually paid in the market. And again, all of this will be done openly and fairly and uniformly. Again, the good news is that the assessor's office is an executive office. This can be done without any new legislation in Springfield. We can get to work right away to fix these problems. What's at stake here isn't just the outcome of this single election for the assessor's office, which I'll agree is not the most glamorous office in the world. But when I defeat Joe Berrios on March 20th, it'll send a message to machine politicians throughout Cook County and Illinois who seek to use government offices to benefit themselves and their family and their businesses. People are watching, and they won't be duped. Fairness, transparency, and integrity are not too much to ask of our elected officials. Thank you, and I'll take your questions.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Fritz. And would you like some water or anything?
I'm good.
Okay,
thanks.
Great. So, we're open to questions, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have a question, Alex, if you'd pick that up. And any others? Thank you very much. Okay. This is from James Harmoning, who's with Computer Bits, City Club member. Please explain the PRD and how it relates to inequity. What is your preferred statistical method for valuing residential property? What is your preferred validation method, sales, income, or cost, for commercial properties, and why?
Okay, so getting into the weeds here, PRD is the price-related differential. It shows the extent to which our assessment system is biased in favor of lower or high-priced properties. And then there's another measure called the COD, or the coefficient of difference, which is about the variability and how accurate the system is. I think both are important, but I've talked a lot about regressivity, and PRD is how you measure regressivity. So I will be focusing very much on that variable to make sure that we do not have a regressive system in either direction. Uniformity is what's required and what we should expect under the law. For commercial properties, I think we should be focusing on the income generated by them. But I think what this assessor's office has totally neglected on is that, you know, the way you convert from the income to the value of a property is not fixed over time. It depends on interest rates and rates of return that investors expect. And when in a world where interest rates are a lot lower than they used to be, when a government bond gets you 2 or 3% anywhere around the world, people have a much lower hurdle rate than they used to. And so that's why people are paying much more for buildings that generated for a similar amount of income that they might have paid less for. And that's why we see buildings zooming up ever higher in value downtown, because the world's global investors really like the idea that they can make 5% here, whereas maybe a couple of years ago they used to require 10. So when you say you're valuing a building on income, it does not necessarily determine what value will be generated from that. There are other assumptions that go into it. But anyway, that's probably too much in the weeds for a lot of people.
We have a lot of weedy questions and some not so weedy. This is from Virginia Pace, who's with the Lightengale Group, City Club member. Her question is, if you could get any state or county property tax legislation passed that you wanted to see enacted, what would be the contents of the bill?
Thank you for asking that question.
This isn't a setup question, is
it? All right, it's not a setup question. So as I said, this is an executive office, so many of the changes that I talked about don't require a new bill. But the very first bill that I would propose is that, you know, our seniors today, when they turn 65, they become eligible for a seniors exemption. But they have to reapply every year to recertify that they're now 1 year older and still a senior citizen, and that they would like their exemption. Meanwhile, you think about this, you have hundreds of thousands of people who go through this ordeal every year, including my parents. And then all the people at the assessor's office have to process all these forms. Sometimes this is also very burdensome at the township assessor level. And then there are probably around 100,000 people each year who don't apply for the exemption because they didn't know they're entitled to it or they forgot. Well, I do believe it's within the capability of the human race for the clerk's office computer, which knows how old you are and if you're alive, to talk to the computer at the assessor's office so we can automatically enroll people in these exemptions. And then when a person dies, well, then whoever is living in that home will have to reapply for it. Currently, the law has written in that you have to apply for it every year. And I understand why they had that. It's because they don't want people to keep on exemptions after people have died. But we have enough data out there to do this and make our life much more convenient and much more fair. And this would serve everybody. So that would be the first bill I'd like to pass.
Great. As someone who's mailed in that application a few times, even went down in person, I'm a strong supporter of that. Great. Okay. I'll do my best here, but I think I'm going to butcher this person's name, so I'll just deal with the first name. Ares. Where are you, Ares? Right down here. Pardon me? Yeah, how do you pronounce your last name?
Dalianis.
Good Lithuanian name, huh? Excellent. With the firm of Franzik and Radelet, by the way. How will you address the assessment industrial complex of law firms, appraisal firms, and consulting firms to change the culture of the assessor's office?
Well, as I said, the very first step we're taking is we're not taking donations from the property tax appeals industry, and that includes the lawyers, but also the other camp followers that would be allied to them. And people who do this work on a technical basis will continue to do this work. Commercial property buildings have a right to appeal. Other people have a right to appeal. And so they will use people who are technical specialists in this field. But isn't it interesting that of all the side jobs that people in politics like to hold on the side, that of all the jobs you could choose, so many seem to choose property tax appeals as a side vocation. And I think this is because people have been trading on a perception of political favoritism and access, and we're committed to nipping that in the bud. People may have a right to engage in this as a side business, but we hope to demonstrate through the commitments we've made about not taking donations from the industry and the rules that we'll put into place on transparency, for example, visitor logs, rules on entertaining, the kind of compliance rules that you would expect in the private sector. We're going to enact those. And I think that will quickly make it clear that trading on your political flag in this office is not a good business decision.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you recognize this word?
Perdure?
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay, this is from City Club Governor Chris Roebling. His question is, should classification perdure? Should classification remain?
Okay.
So, you know, Chris, he goes to Saudi Arabia and other places, uses words that some of us aren't familiar with.
So, for those of you who don't know, classification is, so in most of the state of Illinois, industrial, commercial, and residential properties are assessed in the same way. You use a third of the estimated market value, and that becomes part of the equity the equalized assessed value, and then they're treated equally for a dollar of real estate owned. In Cook County, we have a higher rate for commercial and industrial than for residential. So if you own a $100,000 property, how it's valued in the market, the assessed value if it's residential is 10%. But if it's industrial and commercial, it's 25%. So for a dollar of real estate owned, commercial and industrial pays 2.5 times the rate of residential. That is not a decision for me to make. That's a decision that the county board makes. They have simplified this system in the past. There is a potential for trouble when you have a different rate where people will try to arbitrage the system, characterize something in one way as the other. And then we have a variety of investment incentives that can reduce commercial and industrial down to the residential if people make certain undertakings. I tend to support the existence of these incentives if it can be shown that they're necessary and the undertakings will be adhered to. But this is a decision for the county board. My job as assessor is to mark to market every single piece of property, how it's valued in the market. The chips have to fall where they do, because otherwise that'll be injecting my own political preferences into that, which has been the whole problem with this office. So our job as assessor will be to mark all these properties to market, and then it'll be up to the county board to decide how they change the classifications.
Very good. So that was Latin, huh, Chris? You could tell you're a Georgetown man originally. And speaking of originally, this is one of the things I learned from your father. Because you talked about nepotism. And you're not going to put your three kids on the payroll, right?
Right.
Okay.
The Byzantines actually had very strong rules on nepotism that involved...
And the word nepotism, by the way, comes from a Latin word that means nephew. Mm-hmm. And it referred to the practice of popes appointing their relatives, frequently brothers in that, as cardinals. And the last time a pope did that, by the way, was in 1889, Pope Leo. Not bad for a Jewish kid, huh? Okay. This is from this is from Lawrence Massal with the Civic Federation. Does the triennial reassessment system make the system more of a problem for disadvantaged communities?
Thanks, Lawrence. Yes, it does, because there can be a great lag in assessments. For example, we had the housing crisis, which drops like a bomb on the whole Chicago area and the rest of the country. And many communities had to live with the old stale assessments of market value, even if they might have been 50% different 2 years later. You know, a lot of communities' housing prices fell 50% in the housing crisis, especially in the Southland. And the triennial system, where we rotate a third, froze in place some of those outdated assessments. Now, I am going to examine and see whether we can do assessments more frequently. The assessor has the right, if the numbers are seen out of date or inappropriate or flawed, to do it more frequently than every 3 years. So I'll definitely investigate the technical feasibility of doing this, especially as we put into place all the things that we've talked about. We don't want to have a system that is one-third repaired and two-thirds unrepaired, one-thirds fair and two-thirds unfair. We want to have uniformity to the greatest extent possible. We know this system is broken, needs to be fixed. To the extent we can, we'll try to put it in as fast as possible.
Very good. We have two last questions of Fritz. This is from City Club member Peter Highland. How do you plan to integrate modern business-style best practices into the political and bureaucratic miasma that is the assessor's office?
Well, it starts at the top. There are 300 people who work in this office. There are about, give or take, 100 managers of those people. And we need to put in the very best people that are available. You know, when I became a certified Illinois assessment officer, this is a credential that's required of every county and township assessor in the state. Not Cook County, as chance would have it.
The incumbent is not.
No, the incumbent is not. So biggest assessor's office in the country, exempt from all requirements. Well, we're going to require management level employees to get this credential, and we're going to. This is the biggest assessor's office in the country. We can attract really good people. This will be the pinnacle of many people's careers to come in here. We need good people who know how to use data, because that's really what this office involves, is using lots of data and computer modeling to fairly value, mark things to market, and then to be a good steward over that, so the system is not creating error or favoritism or becoming biased. So there are lots of good people out there that we can bring in. We're committed to a diverse workforce. We know lots of good people will want to join. It would be a real feather in people's cap to not only have finished their career at a large assessor's office like this one, but to have turned around one that's become so notorious.
So we have a larger assessment office than New York, Los Angeles?
Yes.
Wow.
Because they break it up into different pieces.
Gotcha. Okay. Last question before we get to our big drawing. This is from Natalie Laxick, who's affiliated with the Center on Halsted. She wants to know, other than coming to the City Club at 7 o'clock in the morning, what has been the most challenging element of running for political office in Cook County?
Cook County is huge. 5.2 million people. It's the second biggest county in the country. It's bigger than half of the states. We have horrendous traffic. So getting from one end of it to... We've done the Palatine to Thornton run a couple of times, and it's been pretty miserable. But you know what? It's been a joy. I'll take, you know, the other side of that. It's been a real joy. Every day we get reinforced in the righteousness of what we're doing. People are extremely supportive everywhere we go. People are very tuned in. The voters are done with the system. They're ready for change. And we get constant encouragement, and that's been really terrific.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And you do have a driver, right?
Yes.
He or she has been able.
Sometimes. We have a wonderful group of people on our team.
Great. Are any of them here?
Yes.
So why don't you folks who are here just stand up a second and we'll recognize
stand
you.
Stand up, staff team.
Come on. Thank you.